I asked God if it was okay to be melodramatic, and she said, yes. I asked her if it was okay to be short, and she said, it sure is. I asked her if I could wear nail polish or not wear nail polish, and she said, honey, she calls me that sometimes, she said, you can do just exactly what you want. Thanks, God, I said. And is it even okay to paragraph my letters? Sweet cakes, God said. Who knows where she picked that up? What I'm telling you is yes, yes, yes. We used this poem in our baccalaureate service this year at the college, God Says Yes to Me, by Kaylin Hout. I love this poem because for those of us who grew up in more restrictive forms of Christianity, this poem offers a little fresh air. You can be who you are. God says yes to you. I grew up in a small conservative town where it felt like there was very little wiggle room around what was considered goodness. Good people didn't have tattoos. Good people didn't wear a lot of makeup. Good women didn't wear a lot of makeup, but confusingly, they definitely wore some makeup, because to not wear any makeup might signal a lack of femininity, and that would not be good either. The circumscribed white middle-class ethics that I grew up around were everywhere, rarely spoken, and always felt. It was confusing for me, especially someone who wanted to be good, who wanted to love God, when I found myself on the other side of those unspoken codes. In Kaylin Hout's words, I asked her if I could wear nail polish or not wear nail polish. And she said, honey, she calls me that sometimes, you can do just exactly what you want to do. Part of what the early church was trying to figure out was, what do you have to do? Who do you have to be to be a Christian? Do you have to follow kosher laws? Do you have to be born from a certain type of family? Do you have to follow conversion practices like circumcision? The early Christians wrestled with these questions, and we live with their answers. No, you don't have to convert to Judaism first. Yes, you are allowed to eat whatever foods you want to eat. No, you don't have to be born to a particular ethnic group. When we talk about freedom as Christians, this is what we're pointing at. There are no rules laying out who is in and who is out. The only thing you need to do to be a Christian is to follow Christ. That's it. That's the whole ball game. You have freedom. God says yes to you. But lest that seem easy, I'll refer you to today's scripture readings. In our first scripture, Jesus is talking to would-be followers, and they say, Jesus, I'm coming, I am here, I'm ready to follow you in just a minute. I have these few important other things that I need to finish. I need to go home and say goodbye to my family first. Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. To our ears, Jesus sounds harsh. If you're going to disappear, follow an itinerant preacher, it doesn't seem unreasonable to go home and say goodbye first. And the dead can't actually bury the dead. So going home for a funeral seems like a good idea. These are very reasonable requests. And that's kind of the point. There will always be reasonable excuses to follow Jesus just a little bit later. The gospel makes its demands right now. To be a disciple of Christ, to be a Christian, you must act right now. Not later, not at a reasonable hour, but right this very minute. Our second scripture reading takes us even further, even deeper into our own humanity by forcing us to struggle with the way we negotiate our excuses. To lay the foundation for this, let me use an example out of my own life. I have two daughters, 8 and 11, and I'm going to throw them under the bus a little bit here. We have a rule that there are no screens between breakfast and dinner time. The one exception for this is for school or educational purposes. My kids know the rules, and they're also really good at stretching the rules. Earlier this week, I found one of my children watching a YouTube video, but the YouTube video was from Nat Geo, and it was all about animals. Her argument, of course, was that the video is educational. She wasn't technically wrong, but we all know what the spirit of the law is. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Yes, we are a free people, able to claim our Christianity despite all the rules that people try to put on us. But don't forget the spirit of that law. That freedom, your freedom, isn't a blank check to do whatever you want. That freedom serves you only to the extent that you first serve Christ. Put another way, just because all things are permitted does not mean that all things are Christ-like. There are no rules telling us who and what we can be and do as Christians. Unlike our Jewish and Muslim brothers and sisters, we don't have kosher laws or halal laws. We don't have clear categories of what is permitted and not permitted. But that doesn't mean that we live without stricture. We aren't accountable to other human beings, but we are most certainly accountable to the Holy Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the works of flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be led by the Spirit. You can claim freedom in Christ, but that freedom is challenging. The categories of good and bad, in and out, are gone. And now you have to rely on your discernment of the Holy Spirit to know what is right and good. Earlier this year, I sat on a panel at the college, and a student asked if abortion was a sin. I knew what they wanted me to say. They wanted a ruling. They, like so many Americans, wanted a clear line to delineate what is good and what is bad. This is permitted. This is not permitted. But for those of us who are Christians, we simply cannot think in this way. Instead, I answered the student that all things are contextual, that God calls us through the movement of the Holy Spirit to know what is right and good. And the tools that we are given, the only tool we are given to know the difference between the two, is the movement of the Spirit and the fruits that that action produces. Does it lead you to kindness, to gentleness, to patience, to joy? This week, our Supreme Court has eliminated the constitutional rights for all childbearing people. And it seems like a very timely moment to stop and reflect on ethics and the law. And this is the crux of it, people. Right now, there are a lot of people talking very loudly, preaching that abortion is a sin and that Christians are inherently against it. And I am here to say to you that there is no neutral reading of the Bible. That anyone who dares to stand up here and claim the word of God for the people of God, they are responsible for the ethics of that interpretation. Let me be clear. It is the Holy Spirit that leads us to know what is good and acceptable in the eyes of God. Not the Supreme Court, not this pastor, not any preacher, only the movement of the Holy Spirit. Certainly not a minority sect of other Christians who have a lot of rules about who is in and who is out. Christ came to live with us. He became fully human. He lived here in this world that is filled with gray areas. And the tool he gave us to know how to navigate this world is the movement of the Holy Spirit and the fruits that it produces in the lives of those who follow Christ. One part of scripture of the Galatians reading that I skipped over this morning is the part we call the golden rule. We all know this. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. We rarely recite the second half of that scripture rule. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. We bite at, we tear at, we consume one another. Our weapons in this regard are multitude, and they are often dressed up in righteousness. Sometimes the weapons we wield are our values. I will hit you over the head. I will club you with the rightness of my views. Sometimes our weapons are rules, defining who gets to wear nail polish or not wear nail polish. In the end, no matter what the weapon, we end up biting and devouring one another. To ward against such inhumane behavior, we are given markers of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Our freedom is marked by the characteristics it produces within us. We are free to garner self-control. We are free to love. We are liberated so that we might love and serve. Our closing hymn this morning is an old Shaker hymn. Many of us know it, Simple Gifts. It talks of freedom and simplicity. But note that the gift is ours. We don't give it, we receive it. God has given us a gift. And like all good gifts of the Spirit, now we must ask ourselves, what do we do with it? How might we serve the Lord? Will it be with love and peace and kindness and joy? Thanks be to God. Amen.